Hello and welcome to NJ Biz Conversations. I'm your host, Jeff Kanige. My guest today is Jim Corrigan. He is the CEO of Connective RX in Whippany. Jim, welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to be here.
Glad to have you. I'm glad you took the time to do this. I appreciate it. I'd like to start with just a little bit about the company. Connective RX provides prescription services, essentially connecting prescribers and patients, and you can trace your history back quite a ways. I'm sure that's a massive overstatement, so I'm going to ask you to tell our readers, our viewers, what they should know about the company and where it fits in the healthcare landscape.
Yeah, you know, and Jeff, thanks for asking. You know, the biggest part of any company is making sure that you completely stay grounded on your why. You know, I'm a big fan of Simon Sinek, and a lot of people talk about what and how, but you know, the why is what gets really everyone excited. And our why is pretty simple. It's to take the pain out of the prescription process. You know, There are so many challenges within the healthcare ecosystem, and you know, all of us feel them every single day. And you know, the journey overall is incredibly complex. And we believe with a software-enabled solution, which is a combination of great people, great training, great process, but great technology, that we can really help take that pain out of the process. And you know, I think you know as well as anyone else that you know, the journey is very complex. It's getting more complex. You know, a majority of prescribers or patients don't have coverage. You know, 8 out of 10 prescriptions that are written require some level of prior authorization, and the providers and the payers and the pharmacies and, but most importantly, the patients are really put in a situation where instead of working together in a collaborative, focused fashion, they really are not able to swim in the same direction. And we believe that Connective RX, again, with our great people, great process, but most importantly, our great technology, can really, you know, focus on our why and take the pain out of the prescription process.
Okay, well, that's what I'm interested in because, I mean, you're right. It is getting complex. I know from my own experience how difficult it can be to navigate these issues. So tell me a little bit about how this works for a patient. Would a patient, if you're involved in a patient getting a prescription, would they know you're there? How does this work in practice, and what does it mean for a patient?
Yeah, so the patient would know we're there, and again, we focus on specialty medications. So these are the ones that you know, you're not going to CVS to pick up your prescription,
right?
You know, so let's I love to give anecdotes and analogies, and so
please.
You know, you just visited the doctor, and the physicians, you and the physician have been working on a chronic condition for quite a while, I think you know that. Things change, and as the prescriber or the healthcare provider is working with you, they're trying to do a couple things. One, make sure that you get the most effective drug. Second, make sure that drug and the other things that you're doing don't have any negative interaction. But then the one that really most people feel, because they expect that from their healthcare provider, right, is okay. What's the economics going to be of these drugs? And you know, again, a majority of patients are not on the prescriptions that they could or should be on simply because of the economics. And so, you know, we help our users, that being healthcare providers and patients, really take advantage of the economics that are out there while also helping them from a workflow standpoint, ensure that they are getting the right drugs, that they are getting on the right scripts, and that we do have a comprehensive understanding of the journey that patient is on. Now, there's a couple of people who can make that claim. The real difference, though, with Connective RX is we measure our progress in hours.
Okay.
And you know, when you're in pain, or when you're suffering, or a family member suffering, you know, minutes and hours count. And so we've really kind of designed our workflow and our interaction with our users so that they can get the right information at the right time, and they can do it within hours. We kind of like to think about it within the visit. You know, so from the time you visit your healthcare provider to the time you have to make the journey to get the administration of the drug, all of the work that you normally would have to do once you arrive there has already been done. And that really is the thing that differentiates us. You asked the question, do the patients and the providers know we're there? Providers, without a doubt.
Right.
And depending on the specialty and the indication, sometimes patients would know, they'll have a direct interaction with us, but not on every drug.
Okay. All right. Well, that's interesting because, as I said, I personally do have a specialty. I have a prescription that I don't go to CVS for, and right. it is kind of a pain to get it. So it's interesting to hear that there is something out there that could help. But it's not up to the patient to engage you. I mean, that has to be something that happens at a different level. Yes.
Yes. Well, we really leverage the provider. So the initial engagement is between the healthcare provider and the patient, and then that's when we start. So the provider is almost the conduit for us to connect with the patient, and we'll help. And that's when they'll start to know us and work with us, either through questions that they might have, concerns that they might have, or ideas that they might have. And all of those things, we leverage our technology through our customer centers to make sure that information flows properly. Again, and this is all on behalf of our customers, right, that being the pharmaceutical companies.
Okay. Now, I saw a lot of numbers on your website. I'm curious as to where you are in the market, where you think you're going. How far have you come, and what sort of market are you involved in now? How big is it? How big a chunk of it do you have?
Yeah, so the overall market that we play in right now is about $5 million, $5 billion with a
B. $5 billion,
yeah. It's growing at, you know, we consider to be a very, very nice teens type of percent year in and year out. And, you know, our position in there has been one of growing much faster than the market. So, look, you're in business just like me, and you know when you're growing faster than the market, that means you're taking share. That means you're winning against your competitors in a nice fashion. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason why we're doing that is a couple. One, we do what we say, and we say what we do. The second, you know, I talked about our ability to get the right information at the right time once a program has been established. But the other advantage is how quickly can we set up a program? You know, as you can imagine, you know, once a pharmaceutical company gets through the very important but also very bureaucratic FDA approval process, they would like to get their drug into the hands of patients that they've worked so hard to develop as quickly as possible. And so we're able to do that for them in weeks, not months, and in some cases quarters, as some of our competitors talk about. So that's I think the big differentiation for us. Okay. You know, in terms of where we're heading, you know, we want to, and we're building scale. You can obviously hear based on the conversation I've had with you so far is we're obviously focusing on speed. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that we have very strong domain. And then most importantly, software-enabled solutions. You know, we want our teams that interact with our users to have the very best in terms of technology, the very best in terms of information. Because if you had an opportunity to come to our customer center as we do, because we work right with them, they're here in the same building with us, and you see the empathy and the passion, but most importantly, the absolute tenacity that our team has in ensuring that every person on that phone not only feels our ability to help them solve that problem, but has the extra time to do it. And, you know, I think those things really are a big part of why ConnectiveRx is growing in this $5 billion market, continues to be in this $5 billion market. But most importantly, I think really satisfying customers and satisfying users in this market.
Okay. Now, and a little bit about how you're going to get there. I know you have several fairly prominent private equity investors. Your colleagues mentioned to me most recently Harvest Partners. Right. What role do they play? How big of how important is that backing to where you're going and what you need?
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. My friends and I talk about this a lot. You know, look, there are some people that enjoy being in a public company, and there are some that enjoy being.
Well, that's what I was getting at next. But go ahead.
And so, you know, I've had the opportunity to work in both, and you know, I learned from some of the best. You know, in terms of my ability to work with some of these people, and I have found that every company has a set of constituents that really are focused on what's the success of that company. And most importantly, how do they make sure they invest so that that company can realize its full potential? I have found, you know, this is my second time working with Genstar, which is our primary investor. Okay. And I came back to
them. Right. I should have mentioned that. I apologize. Yeah.
No worries. I came back to them for one very simple reason. They are so completely focused on making sure that they have the right people in the right roles and completely trusting management to make sure that they make the day in and day out decisions. Obviously giving guidance,
right,
obviously being a great sounding board, and obviously giving perspective. But you know, the for me, the private equity journey is one where an innovative company that is focused on really transforming the way an interaction between the complexities of a healthcare provider, a patient, and pharmaceutical and pharmacies really needs something that, you know, has to be thought of not in terms of weeks and months that, you know, you're on the treadmill on a private company, but really in terms of quarters and years. And for us, it's been just fantastic. GenStar is such a insightful, but most importantly, I think patient investor, hold us accountable like they should, but really understand the long-term vision of the company and are investing to make sure that we get there.
Okay. So no need to go public at this point or anytime
the primary investor, that being GenStar, you know, they can make that decision, but I don't think they have any intentions to do that. And I think most importantly, you know, they're like the performance of the company and so there's no need for them to make any changes.
Okay. You did make an acquisition, I think, in December. Yes. RX Savings Assistant.
Yes.
How important is M&A to your growth strategy, or is it mostly organic? A combination? I mean, no, you're probably going to say it's a combination, but I'm just curious, where does M&A fit into what you're doing and where you're going?
Yeah, you know, the thing with a technology company like ourselves, you know, you're constantly, and this is what myself and Danielle, who's on the phone here, really focus on, which is, you know, do we build, buy, or partner?
Right.
And, you know, so, you know, being a software developer myself, you know, you want to build everything, you know, but I think what we've worked with our team on is what is our core competency? And that really is, as I said, you know, the right information at the right time from access through fulfillment of the medical journey. And there are partners that we can use that really help us do that more efficiently. What we start to think about, though, is, you know, when we, like Medicom, for instance, the RX Savings acquisition that we did, you know, that is really about access to physicians. And so, you know, we did great partnerships with Allscripts and Athena, and that really covered the outpatient market. But we clearly saw that the inpatient market was an opportunity for us because, as you know, many healthcare providers are being consolidated right into healthcare systems.
Certainly.
And we felt Medicom had that, or RX Savings had that great, that software, and they were there faster than we could have built it. And so the deal made a lot of sense. And the good news is the team is integrated. It really enables us to kind of make that claim of 3 out of every 4 physicians in the United States are from a messaging standpoint with us here at ConnectiveRx exclusively. And we're very proud of that, but we're also very privileged to have that.
Okay. Well, that's a fairly common use of M&A for technology companies. As you say, it's cheaper to buy a technology rather than develop it from scratch. So that seems to be where you are. Okay. Now, I just to broaden the discussion a bit, as I'm sure you're aware, there's a lot of conversation so far, mostly conversation on both state and national levels about government efforts to control prices of prescription drugs. Are you comfortable with where that debate is now and where it might be going? Where do you come down on those kinds of things?
Well, obviously, the last ruling, we were in favor of the last ruling. You know, mm-hmm. I think the thing that is easy to do is to look at the price of a specialty drug or a prescription drug and say it's too high.
Right.
You know, I think we all have heard the same quote, which is, you know, before the first pill or dispense is done, you know, a pharmaceutical company has spent, you know, billions of dollars. And I, you know, I think pharma's got a little bit of a momentum behind them. You know, there's not many good things to say about the COVID crisis, but I think people really saw the value of the pharmaceutical process and the FDA process. I believe that the efficiency is not just in the drug pricing. The efficiency is the interaction of those players. You know, you'll pay for a premium service. You know, you'll pay premium for a premium service.
Right.
And I think that's where we feel that we can be a real enabler in terms of using the technology, better connecting patients and providers and payers and pharmaceutical companies in a way that makes it something where us as the patient feel like we're really getting our money's worth. And it's not a struggle. You know, I think all of us have been involved in either construction projects or those type of things. And there's nothing more frustrating when the vendor doesn't show up, what they say they're going to do, they don't do. And then they hit you with a price that really surprises you. You know, that's how it feels, I think, to many patients
right.
When they go through the healthcare process. And we feel, and we're seeing it in terms of our growth, but most importantly, in terms of our satisfaction scores, that, you know, our users really are seeing the difference of our approach.
Okay. Now, as I'm sure you're aware, the pharmaceutical industry is important to New Jersey's economy. It's healthcare in general, by some estimates, is up to a fifth of the economy here. Obviously, there's a lot of pharmaceutical companies here, the medicine chest of the world, all that sort of thing. How about you doing business in New Jersey? Are you happy here? Do you see that there are challenges? I ask because I've talked to lots of folks in the industry itself, among drug makers and some of the trade groups. And they still like it here, but there are challenges. I'm curious as to where you come down on that.
Well, you know, there's going to be challenges no matter where you are. You know, the thing that we look for is, can we find the talent that we're looking for? Two, are we going to have an environment where people feel great about coming to work? I think, you know, many companies are struggling with bringing people back to work and having people want to come back to work. And, you know, when I look at our facilities, whether it be in New Jersey or Pittsburgh, or in Pennsylvania, you know, we've really worked hard to make sure that they're fun places to be and that we're there so that people can see that that's where the decisions are made. In terms of just being happy with New Jersey, look, we're growing, you know, and we continue to grow, we continue to invest. And I'm close enough. I'm a native New Yorker. I have an affinity to the Northeast for sure. And, you know, I think they got some great beaches, but in all seriousness, the most important thing is we have good local, friendly governments. But most importantly, we have really good talent in our company, and we have good talent pools to pull from. And that's a lot due to the infrastructure of New Jersey itself.
Right. Okay. All right. And finally, before I let you go, I'm curious as to what your outlook is, what your assessment of the economy now and the business climate now for your company and what you think it looks like going forward for the next, say, 6 to 12 to 18 months. You mentioned, people coming back to work. It feels like most folks are ready to put the pandemic behind them. Is that where you come down? And what are you expecting? What are you planning for over the next year or so?
Well, I think, you know, everyone's watching, kind of the inflation that's going on and the potential recession that might be following. I'm no expert, but my feeling is that, you know, the Fed is doing a very good job of managing and trying to stabilize the inflation. I think they're also doing a pretty good job of hinting at recession, which is a nice way to tell the consumer to slow things down. It's nice way to tell businesses to put a little more cash in their bank accounts and slow the spending down. To give a plug for Genstar, they're telling us just the opposite. They're saying now's the time to invest. When the market is down, that's the time to buy. And so, you know, we've sped up our investment. We've actually increased our investment this year, 50% versus prior years. And they're pushing us to do it again as we look to 2023. Okay. In terms of coming back to work, the key part, you know, one of our values is empathy. And, you know, we understand it, you know, when people were sent home, it was a big shock. Everyone was wondering how we're going to make it work. And is the technology going to be there? And how does it remote access happen? And now that we're asking people to come back, they're saying, well, wait a minute, I've got all this muscle memory. I know how to work from home and I don't miss the, 2 hours on the road each way and all of those other good things. And what we just remind them again and again, and we just had the leadership team together in New Jersey last week at Crystal Springs. And we just said, we're better together. Mm-hmm. We're just simply better together. Even this interview, it's great to have video. It's a good 2D, but there's so much more that you get on the 3D being face to face. And so, the leadership team and I and the senior leadership team, we're back in the offices. We're making sure that we encourage people to come back. But we're a company of a meritocracy. And, when we feel things are not going in the right direction, we're going to be more strongly encouraging people that, we're better together. So we need to be together. What do we need to do to help you make sure that you get back to the office? And so from an economic standpoint, if I had a crystal ball, it would be excellent. But I think the Fed is really doing their best. And those are the people that you got to watch. And then in terms of what it means for our employees, we're continuing to invest. This is a shameless plug, but, we're looking for application engineers, quality leaders, patient support specialists, in the New Jersey office. So anyone who watches the video, if they'd like to drop us a note, we'd love to have you and join the company. But we feel pretty bullish, as you can tell from my tone.
All right. Well, there will be a link. There is a link attached to the text with this post. So if you're interested in going to work at Connective RX, by all means, take a look. And I hope it's an interesting assessment. I hope you'll come back. Maybe we'll do it 3D next time. Who knows? to talk a little bit more about what's going on.
Yeah. So Jeff, look, I one last thing. The patient journey for us is our aspirational focus. And it's why we're doing what we're doing.
Okay.
Making sure that we simplify that medication journey, that's a big part of, what our mission statement is and doing it through software enabled solutions. We feel, and we're very proud of this and we don't hide it in any way, shape or form is the method that we're going to go after that. But, it's all founded on great people. And, I've worked at a lot of different companies and, I'm just so completely impressed with the customer orientation, the focus on making sure that we make the right changes at the right times, and also just the level of collaboration that happens here in these four walls. It's really one of those things that you can't find on any job interview. You just got to kind of luck into it. And I think for folks who are interested in working in a place like that, Connective RX is the place to go. I know I'm here, and I'm pretty excited to be here.
Okay, great. Well, that we will leave it there then. Jim Corrigan, CEO of Connective RX, and Whippany, thank you very much for joining me today.
Thanks so much.
I really appreciate you taking the time.
All right, cheers.
And thank you all. Pardon?
I said cheers. Thank you so much.
Oh, yes. And thank you all for watching. Until next time, stay safe, everyone.
Thanks.